You are listening to the Winning Edge podcast, where each week we have a conversation with a different member of the Winning Edge Business Networking Chapter located in Spring Hill, Florida.
Welcome to this episode of the Winning Edge podcast. I am your host, Chris Chambers, and I am here with Mr. Andrew Chamberlain of Jericho Road Ministries. What is up, Andrew?
Hey, Chris, it's good to be with you today.
Thank you for joining me, man. I did want to mention we are recording via Zoom. This is our second Zoom recording. The first one went so well, we figured we'd continue trying this out. Now, Andrew, basically what we want to do, we want to talk to you about your personal life a little bit, kind of where you've lived, what brought you here to Hernando County, your family. I want to talk about some interests and hobbies. Then we'll move into the business side. Obviously, you run a nonprofit, Jericho Road Ministry. We want to know more about them and who they help. And then we'll move into the B&I section, as this is the Winning Edge podcast, and talk to you a little bit about your encounter with B&I thus far. And then we'll move into referrals. What are some good referrals for you? Who are your ideal clients that you can help? And then finally, we'll close it down with a rapid fire section, okay?
Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
Well, as always, we'll start with this question. Who is Andrew Chamberlain?
Yeah, well, I am the executive director of Jericho Road Ministries. I hold the nonprofit chair in the B&I Winning Edge chapter. I'm very happy and pleased to hold that chair. I am married to Michelle Chamberlain. We have been married for 13 years. We have three children, Bailey, Beckett, and Banks. I have been the executive director or CEO of Jericho since August 2018, so coming up on my two-year anniversary. We love living here in Hernando County. It's a wonderful place to raise a family, and very grateful to be doing what we do at Jericho and being a part of B&I.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you've lived in a few different places, including another country. So tell us kind of about that a little bit. Walk us through where you've been and why you were there.
Sure. Yeah. So the trajectory of my life was first 17 years or so was very one spot. Grew up in East Tennessee, in the mountains of East Tennessee. I still hold that place as home in my heart, even though I haven't really been there since I was 17. Very fond of that area. At the age of 17, my family, not including my sister because she was already in college, we moved to Madrid, Spain. My parents were able to kind of take a break in their career and go serve as missionaries at a international Christian school in Madrid, Spain. And I had the opportunity to go there. So I graduated high school actually from Madrid, and I attended university there as well. My first year I graduated from university there in Madrid. In the Madrid province, actually in the city of Alcalá de Henares. I got a degree in Spanish. And then subsequently from there, I have, well, being in Europe, we travel quite a bit and traveled in multiple European countries and did some outside of Europe as well. And then since then, I've spent time in Virginia and Ohio and now here in Florida. And I can honestly say, in each location, I've really enjoyed it and made a lot of great relationships through those different parts.
And so, you mentioned your time in Spain. How different is a life in Spain compared to life here in the U.S.?
It's considerably different because one of the mottos in Spain that they say is we only work to live, and they say that Americans live to work. And so every day from about 4 to 6, things pretty much kind of close down. People take the naps or the siestas. It's good, but coming from American culture can kind of be frustrating at times as well, because you are wanting to get things done or I don't know, not take that break and just maybe take a break later that day. I don't know. It's got its ups and downs. I mean, there's parts of the Spanish culture I miss dearly, the community, time is not, we're not more event oriented than time oriented. I really like that. But there's a lot of things about American culture that I prefer over Spanish culture. So, I mean, they have their ups and downs, but it's a wonderful place, and I thoroughly enjoy my time there and the relationships I've built there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then you mentioned you came back home, went to Virginia. You were there for college, right?
Yeah, I finished a program at the university in Spain, and then I attended Liberty University, which is in Lynchburg, Virginia. And I was I was working for a local church, and I was fortunate to, through that church, get a scholarship to Liberty. And so I was able to, I actually spent quite a bit of time in Lynchburg because I got my undergrad, and I finished, I got two master's degrees from Liberty University.
What were those in?
My master's degrees were in Master's of Divinity and a Master's of Business Administration.
Okay. All right. And then when did you meet Michelle?
I met Michelle she's from East Tennessee. We're from the same town, Greenville. I met her my junior year of high school. We hit it off right away. And then during all the travel and all the different places and movements and stuff like that I went through from like 17 on, we stayed in contact. And then by the grace of God and our desire, we got back together once I was stateside. And now the history is we got three kids. So, I mean, and it's been really good.
Yeah, it's worked out, I'd say.
Yeah, it's worked out wonderfully.
And actually, she went to Liberty with you, right?
Yeah, so we both attended Liberty, both graduated from there. It was both of our desires to go to a Christian school, to get our higher education through a Christian school, and they both had our degrees, and it was just a great fit for us.
And then you moved to Ohio, I believe, to take a senior pastor role, right?
That's correct. I was a youth pastor in Lynchburg, and that's how I got that scholarship. And then I moved to Youngstown, Ohio, which is an equal distance between Cleveland and Pittsburgh, if you can picture that on a map. And I was pastoring a Southern Baptist church. It was right in the middle of the city. And so it's a very wonderful but challenging location. And it was a great experience being the senior pastor of that church.
In addition to that, I believe that's when you first kind of got some experience in working, leading a nonprofit. Is that right?
Yeah. So if I can back up one step prior to that, when I was still in Lynchburg, I got to hear a gentleman by the name of Matthew Barnett speak, and he is the founder of the Dream Center that's in Los Angeles, California. And there's more Dream Centers around the country. And I even think globe now. I remember hearing him speak. He spoke at one of the chapels at Liberty, and I felt such a desire and a conviction that that's how I really wanted to spend my life, helping those that were maybe a lot of society may forget or not think about. And it really sparked an interest in me. And so there's a verse from scripture, a couple of verses from Luke chapter 4, where Jesus talks about helping the oppressed, the poor, the blind, and the captive. And just those two things really started leading me. So when we went to Youngstown is a challenged area. About 40-45% of the population lives at or below the poverty line. $7 million worth of drugs is sold per month in Youngstown. So it's a real challenging situation. So when we went to Youngstown to take the pastorate, we already kind of had that mindset. Once I got there, I got invited to go visit a local rescue mission that worked right downtown, really close to our church. And they gave me a tour. It was this old YMCA that was actually built for the African-American community. So it had a real history of like some famous boxers had been there and stuff like that. So it was a really cool tour. That was interesting. But what got me was I knew as soon as I took that tour, this was what I was meant to do, to serve in this kind of capacity. And from that point on, I didn't actually get employed there till probably a year or two later. But I was there all the time. I joked. I said, if you can't find me at my house, the church, you'll find me at the mission. I would go down every evening, not every evening, many evenings, and just hang out, drink coffee, and I became a fixture there.
Yeah. Well, I do want to move into Jericho in just a moment. Before I do that, though, what are some things that you some hobbies? I know you're a big Tennessee fan growing up in East Tennessee. Right?
Yeah, so I really enjoy sports. I really enjoy Tennessee athletics. Being here in Florida is sometimes fun with that and hard at the same time. People give me a hard time, so it's kind of fun. I really enjoy my family, my kids. Actually, Chris and I get the privilege of coaching a baseball team together. Hopefully that will resume after all this stuff has subsided. We'll see.
Hey, Dr. Sam, we're coming for you.
What's that?
Dr. Sam, we're coming for you.
Dr. Sam, we are coming for you. That is correct. I really enjoy spending time with them, like I said. And since we've been here, we've got to, Chris and I and another gentleman by the name of Ben have got to form a podcast called People in Exile, and it's become a real interest. And just learning how to do that and having fun with that. And then Florida, you know, being outside so much here, I've I'm not a great fisherman by any means. I don't pretend to know what I'm doing, but I really enjoy it. And just, I don't know. I'll say this last with the interest. I love just being outside, like being here and having the sun and so much warmth. It's just, it doesn't really matter what it is. As long as I'm outside, I'm happy. So.
And the weather is a whole lot different here in Florida than Youngstown, Ohio, right?
Yeah. They say in Youngstown that, you'll experience through the year 4 complete months of cloudiness. And my first winter there, we had 140 inches of snow. And so I don't care if I ever see another snowflake again in my life.
Had your belly full of that, I guess.
Yeah, I did.
So now I do want you to tell us about Jericho Road in particular. That's ultimately what brought you here to Hernando County. Tell us about the, you know, their mission, who they serve, so on and so forth.
Wonderful. Yeah. So Jericho Road is going on its 22nd year of existence. It was founded by a wonderful man by the name of Bruce Gimble. He's pretty well known throughout Hernando County. Wonderful man who loved and served many people. And his vision was to create a homeless shelter for this area and to serve that population. Through the years, that homeless shelter has grown. And now we have 4 shelters that help men, women, and children. Inside of those shelters, we have 2 different programs. We have what's called night by night or transient. These are men and women who are staying with us, as it states, in a night by night manner. Maybe they have a job. Maybe they have some other things that are going on where what they currently need the most is just shelter. So we do provide that. They receive 2 meals a day, hygiene, a nice place to stay. All those kind of things are taken care of for them. But one of the things that has grown since the beginning or the inception of Jericho is what we call our New Life program. And that is where about 80% of our population is staying with us. And that's a intensive 10-month recovery program for those that are suffering addiction, which usually is a big cause of homelessness. And so in that 10-month program, they are receiving 30 hours of counseling. They're receiving 2 sets of different classes they go through. We have a work therapy program for them where they get to put into practice real work skills, real life skills. We help them budget. We help them to find housing afterwards. We help them with their health issues. So that's kind of the biggest part of where Jericho has come to is that program. What's really cool is one of our, and I'll talk about our thrift stores in a moment, but one of our managers of our thrift stores is actually a graduate of that program and he's doing so well. So it's really cool to see that in action. We also serve as a food pantry for the county. I don't know if we're the largest, but I do know that we serve quite a few. We're looking at anywhere from 50 to 75,000 meals via the poundage per month. So it's about 1,000 different individuals, or excuse me, families that we're serving. And so those 3 elements are the main service. So just to recap, it's a shelter, a night-by-night shelter, a New Life program that's really more than just a shelter. It's a very intensive program helping people, especially with addiction issues and the feeding aspect. We fund that predominantly through our thrift stores. We have 4 thrift stores in the area. 3 of them, technically 2 are in Spring Hill. 1's technically in Pasco County, but it's on County Line Road. So it's kind of right there in between. And then we have, 1's in Brooksville, 2's in Spring Hill, 1 kind of Pasco, and then 1 all the way out, Interstate 50, 75 on the eastern part of the county. So those 4 stores provide about 75% of our funding to do everything that we do. And then we are the remainder of our funding comes through a wonderful grant through United Way and wonderful donors from the Hernando County and places around. So that's who we are. That's what we do. And we stay pretty busy doing all those things.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the counseling. And are you the primary counselor or do you have other counselors that come in?
We have a staff to do that. So we work through, I have written, so as you know, with my degrees and my background, I am, I don't know the correct way of saying this, but I am a biblical counselor and I've done a lot of that in my ministry. And so I've written a counseling program for them, and we have wonderful, competent counselors and staff that walk through these steps with the men and women.
Okay. And you're actually, I believe you were working on some recording of some classes, and it's
to So one of our great partners here in the BNI chapter, Michelle Hobbs, is going to be videoing us, actually videoing me teaching a 6-part series for those that are getting ready to graduate our program. Unfortunately, with everything that's happened with this pandemic, my attention has not been there, and it's been on many other issues. However, I'm sure once we kind of get through this, that will be something we get back to and knock out and be able to provide for all of our clients.
No, absolutely. And I know that that obviously Jericho, you know, every business certainly has been hit hard. You know, Jericho is not excluded to that. So I did want to ask, you know, walking through this, I know it's been difficult for you. What are some things that you've seen that maybe, you know, could be folks in the community, you know, other statewide or federal programs, anything at all that you could provide to folks saying, here's some of the things that I've used that have helped.
Yeah. So one of the things that I've done is don't take just information from social media. There's a lot of people that are, you know, probably good intentions, but sharing a lot of perspectives on social media, but that's not necessarily those aren't necessarily our guidelines. So for example, I've really resourced the CDC, the Center of Disease Control, their website on specifically knowing what is considered essential versus non-essential. So that we are not, because we want to make sure we are taking care of people's health, you know? And so that's one thing I've done, and not just kind of went by word of mouth or social media. I've really looked at a lot of the financial assistance that's out there for small businesses in particular, because we fit in that category. And so the SBA.gov is a wonderful website that I've accessed quite a bit. And then I'm a part of a network with our mission called CityGate, which this might not be this is applicable for other BNI members, but I've been privileged to have quite a few conversations from that network, connecting us to some federal people from HUD and so forth that kind of given us some guidance on some different things. Because, you know, we're kind of in a, specifically with BNI, we're kind of in a unique situation. Not saying it's better or worse, but we have our business aspect that everybody in BNI is suffering through. You know, we're all seeing a lack of revenue or sales, or, you know, but we also have a shelter that is still running that we have to keep open. And we still have a feeding ministry that we are keeping open that is especially vital right now. So again, I'm not trying to say my situation is worse than anybody. I'm just saying we're kind of in two camps right now with it. And so I'm having to deal with both of those. So I don't know if that helps, but it's just, again, for those in BNI, SBA.gov, that's the website. Go there. You're going to get tons of information.
And I did want to mention one of the things that Andrew and I are working on is trying to get a voice, someone who is well-versed specifically in the CARE Act, that was just recently passed, the stimulus bill that was passed. I've reached out to a local congressman up in the House of Representatives. We'll see if that pans out or not. I know that, Andrew, you have a local individual who is helping actually folks and small businesses apply through this process right now. So hopefully we'll be able to get something recorded and get something released here over the next week or so with some additional information with some folks that are really well-versed in that particular act, right?
Exactly, yeah. I won't say too much there except, if we have the opportunity to interview the person we're talking about, he is, his heart would be right there with us, just trying to help and help us all find the answers that we need.
Now, Andrew, you did, you know, obviously this is the Winning Edge podcast, and you know, this is primarily for our Winning Edge, our BNI chapter. And you've been in BNI for how long now?
I'm going into my second month. I'm trying to remember the exact date. It sounds bad, but like with everything happening this pandemic, my brain has went, you know, kind of like all focused on Jericho. But this is really my second month in BNI.
Okay. And just, you know, I like to get, we have members that have been in for 9 and 10 plus years. We have other members, obviously, like yourself, who, you know, new to the BNI world. What are your kind of thoughts here early on, 2 months in?
I'll be honest with you. I have never been really high on networking groups because I've been a part of other ones, and they have been, it's been, it seems like everybody's there to fish and nobody's the fish. And so, you know, it's really, it's like, it's very challenging because you are dealing with, it's like everybody's just giving you sales pitch. What I've I'll say to Chris talked to me, Chris Chambers, had talked to me for months, said, hey, this is different. And I respect you quite a bit, I was like, okay, but I don't know. And then you showed me something via the app that really caught my attention. Like, wait a second, they're actually generating revenue for each other. It's not just, you know, I like to see the tangible. And so what I have seen in my short time here is people honestly care about your business, and they're not just there to sell you theirs. And that right there, that giver's game, I mean, it, cliche as it may sound, it's not, it's phenomenal. You know, just in the last 24 hours, I've had three sincere conversations from BNI Winning Edge people that sincerely cared about me, and vice versa, caring about them and how we could help each other. And it's not just about, you know, getting referrals and all that kind of stuff. It was honest, like, hey, how can we help? And so I'm a huge fan, very grateful, and I'm very privileged to be a part of it.
Yeah. And I can tell you that's one of the things, you know, when I first got in, you know, kind of similar thoughts. I'm like, I don't know about this whole networking. I had a lot of the thoughts that you've just kind of mentioned there. And obviously it's proven to be something altogether different. And the other things, you know, the secondary benefits, friendships, right?
Folks, oh, I know, yeah.
Those things aren't things that you would have expected to come out of it. At least I didn't on the early end, on the front end. And here we are, man, in the midst of this, and certainly going through this pandemic now, and the economic turn down and all those things. And man, the folks are coming out in droves just looking to help one another. So I
definitely. Yeah, and can I add one more thing to that? So one of the things for me, it's really cool, especially when you're newer in a community like I am. And then, you know, you've got, you know, our chapter's what, 65 now?
68.
My goodness. It's really cool. Like, for example, LT's Hair Salon. I'm always like looking for it when I'm on 19. And I just find that really cool to be like, hey, I know that person that's running that, or I know that person that, you know, I just think that's a really cool thing to start to feel really connected to your community. And that's, I guess, akin to that friendship that you don't really think about once you go in, but it is a wonderful benefit.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, Andrew, the next thing I wanted us to kind of discuss is, you know, specifically, you kind of walk through the mission, you kind of walk through who you help as fellow business owners in the Winning Edge chapter of BNI here in Spring Hill. And anybody else who may be listening, when we're talking to our clients, we're talking to other customers, friends, family members, what are some things that we can be listening for in order to say, hey, you know what, I think Andrew may be able to help you. I think Jericho Road, you know, to go over to Jericho Road and see how they might be able to help.
Yeah, so there's two different ways to look at that, or maybe three. There's the aspect of, you know, from a business standpoint, predominantly our funding comes through our thrift stores. So it's as simple as when you see people are cleaning out their house, or they are updating their living room, or they're getting a new wardrobe, and you're having those kind of connections, instead of those people maybe just throwing those things away, or even selling them, maybe they can sell them, who knows, but if they would donate those to us, you're talking about a direct impact to helping the community. You're talking 50,000-60,000 meals a month. You're talking 40 to 50 people having a place to sleep at night. You're talking 20 to 30 people having intensive care to help them with their addiction issues. And I think this only makes us a stronger community. And so that's a great way to refer, you know, from a business standpoint, you know, any kind of donation, any kind of gently used or used item that could be sold at our stores, we'll pick those up for free. You can drop those off at our stores. And we will process those. We'll give you a receipt. There is a tax deduction that's there. And now with the new CARES Act, you're going to get they're in talks of upping the charitable giving. There's a lot of different things that you can do with that. Another great referral is I love to do speaking events, and it doesn't just have to be, it can be of any size and basically any venue. But in your other groups, maybe it's a Kiwanis Club. I'm proud Kiwanis member, it's Rotary, if it's your church, if it's any group that is looking for speakers to understand more about their community, that's a wonderful, wonderful referral to me as well, because it gives me the opportunity to share who we are. And then third, and it's, this isn't really as tangible, but we are there to serve, you know, that's our primary thing. So if you're having, you know, if you know of a family member or a friend or a neighbor or anyone that maybe even it's just an associate that, you know, like, look, I need a, could, is there a place for this person to go? Or is there a place, you know, an opportunity for this person to get some food or any of those things that we talked about from the sheltering and the food aspect, I'd be happy to be contacted to, you know, to try to facilitate that as well. So it's, while we are here to help each other business, help other businesses grow, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that we are, you know, a ministry really trying to care for the individual as well.
Yeah. And, you know, I, as an attorney, I represent, you know, disabled individuals and individuals, sometimes that, that do fall into some addictions, whether it be through, you know, opioids or, you know, strong narcotics, things like that. Then it, you know, sometimes it can lead to other things. And so I know it, for me, having Jericho as a part of our group has enabled me to be able to say, hey, I have a client going through some of those situations, maybe dealing with some homelessness, you know, temporarily, maybe dealing with some addictions. I know that that I have referred some folks over to for them to help, and that helps me as a as an attorney to be able to provide additional service to my clients. So certainly, I thank you, Andrew, and thank Jericho for the service they all provide to our community.
Yeah, happy to. And I sincerely say that, and I say that on behalf of our staff. We feel very privileged to be in that position.
Now, now if somebody's out there, whether they're looking for any of these, you know, looking to donate to one of the thrift stores, whether to, you know, hey, say, hey, Andrew, I got the speaking engagement for you, or whether it's, hey, I have a friend or family member that needs some help. What's the best way to get in touch with Jericho?
Well, can I reference it two ways? Like, one, we have the call sheet.
Okay.
Our sheet, my number there, that's actually my personal number. And I give that out to this group, you know. I also, our website is jericho-road.net. That website will get you all the contact information. Either one of those are great places in the card box when we get to meet together again. I'm looking forward to that. But in that card box, I actually updated my card, and it actually on the back of that card has every number specific to our shelter donations and all that. And I would just really, really recommend everybody have my card for those things, because it gives you on the back of that card, like I said, very specific numbers. So those are three great ways to reach me. The number on the call sheet, the website, jericho-road.net, or my business card in that box. And those will be great ways to help in very specific, you know, whatever your specific situation may be.
All right, very good. And I tell you what we'll do, as we always do, Andrew, let's close out with just a brief rapid fire section. And I may ask a few follow-up questions, which lets it not be quite as rapid. But nonetheless, number one, what is the best book, could be business, networking, or otherwise, that you have ever read?
Well, for this, I'll talk business. The best business book I've ever read is Good to Great by Jim Collins.
Okay. What was so good about it?
He did not come in with a preconceived idea per se. He came in, let's just look at the data. I love that. And he put real world, real companies and went through their things. And then I don't know if this is really connected. We got to hear him speak at a conference, and kind of connecting the book to hearing him speak. It was just, by and large, best business book I've ever read.
Okay. And then what about this? What is the most important networking trait in your opinion?
Well, it's really listening to somebody else. And that's kind of that, again, that giver's game mentality. You know, so much, I've been to so many different networking events where you start to talk to somebody and their eyes are darting everywhere. And you're like, what's the point of even talking to you right now? Okay. You know, and so sometimes they'll just say funny things to see if they're paying attention. But it's just really listening to somebody and taking the time to build a relationship, because once you build that relationship, then you have the opportunity to really, mutually help each other.
Okay. What about this? If you could go back and talk to younger Andrew, right? What's a business tip that you wish you had known sooner?
Well, I really think I'm not going to be able to say this quote exactly verbatim, but I heard Billy Graham later in his life say he wished that he would have preached less and studied more. Not that he didn't want to preach the sermons that he preached, but maybe be more prepared versus just always trying to accomplish the next task. And I've often thought of that. I tend to be somebody who just goes pretty hard. And I have studied, but I think there have been times that, man, if I would have just slowed down and studied a little bit more instead of just trying to maybe react so much or act so quickly, I'd probably be probably been beneficial for me. And hopefully I'm learning that at this season of my life.
Yeah, and potentially that could lead to either more efficiency or more effectiveness, fewer mistakes, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, there's always that collateral, you know, damage when you just do something that you don't think through or you push too hard.
And then finally, Andrew, last rapid fire question. What is the most profound piece of advice that you wish you had known sooner, just about life in general?
You know, I'm a person of faith, so I'll throw it through that lens, is that God's really got everything in control. You know, I often tend to be somebody who is trying to figure out every situation or understand or whatever. And I've come to realize, and it's, you know, I'm not saying I've fully arrived there yet, but realizing that I am not God. I am simply a man. I have limitations. I have to eat. I have to sleep like every other person. And so to relax and not try to, you can't carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. So why even try? So relax and appreciate and understand that God really is working all things out for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose.
Yep. Very good. Well, Andrew Chamberlain, thank you very much for joining us for this episode of the Winning Edge Podcast.
Thank you. Privileged to be here.
Thanks for listening to the Winning Edge Podcast. Please be sure to check out the show notes for contact information for each of our guests, links to their websites, and links to more information about the topics discussed in this episode. Until next week, happy networking!